Well, that one, if you have a tender heart, that'll kill your eyebrows and eyelids and tear ducts and everything. What a wonderful song. What a wonderful song. Well, our speaker this morning is a dear friend over many years that we became friends over a friend. One of my friends married one of his staff members in Indianapolis many, many years ago, Mike King and Miriam. He pastors a church in West Virginia, been there for years, and we've been friends for a long time. And then there was times of AIG involvement, but even before that, Gospel Literature Services, and just always had a great time with my dear friend, Dr. David Crandall. Thank you for coming to be with us today. He's ministering over at Word of Life in Hudson, and today at Fellowship Baptist Church.
Hey. Good morning. Is this on? I am just a proud papa. I have been on the board of the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism for 40 years. And for the first time in those 40 years, I just happened to be in a service where we're celebrating an ABWE missionary family that is fully supported. Congratulations to you again, and we praise God for it. What do you want?
Hello! Hey, that's much better. Thank you very much. We are very, very happy to be here today and to be able to share this time with you. I'm just really... Man, you could do a 50-yard dash up here between these two things, can't you? I guess I'll get my exercise. I can lose 12 pounds just by going back and forth in this pulpit. This is a gigantic pulpit. But I am so very happy to be here today, and I'm trusting that God would bless our time together. I did have and do have the opportunity of working with Answers in Genesis, and I'm happy to tell you that the Noah's Ark encounter and the Creation Museum is just going fantastic. How many of you had a chance to be there so far? How many of us? Several of you in the church. How many at the Ark? You at the Ark? All right, very good. What did you think of it? Pretty good, huh? Last Saturday, we had 7,000 people there. We are just praising the Lord for the opportunity that we've had. I was the international director of Answers in Genesis and got to travel to 108 different countries of the world. And we're just so thrilled with what God is doing. In fact, what's really interesting about Answers in Genesis is that the Creation Museum, once the Ark opened, we thought, well, probably that attendance will go down because they'll choose to go to the Ark. Creation Museum's attendance has increased 67% because people are saying, hey, if I can go to the Ark, I might just as well go to the Creation Museum. So both ministries are just popping off the map, and we're just praising the Lord for His goodness. So I send you greetings from Ken Ham. As I travel, I do that, and so thankful for this man of God and for the opportunity for many years to be able to serve with him. I also want to thank this church because you were part of the support level of Gospel Literature Services. I was with Gospel Literature Services with the Regular Baptist Fellowship for 13 years. And then for 30 years, a pastor, both in New York State. I shouldn't mention that today. This is a bad day for New York. New York State and Indianapolis University Heights Baptist Church for 30 years. And then with Gospel Literature Services and then Answers in Genesis. And now we're supposed to be retired. But my, we're having the greatest time in the world being retired. And praising the Lord for the opportunity to continue to travel and minister for the glory of the Lord. Well, today is supposed to be a super day. Today is supposed to be a day that There's great celebration around the world. We have a Super Bowl going on. Now, I'm not really fascinated with the Super Bowl this year at all, so I'm going to be here tonight in the evening service. And trust that you will be as well, because tonight I'm going to answer the question, where did Adam learn to speak? What language did God speak to Adam? Tonight we're going to talk about the subject of what language will we speak in heaven? If you want to know what language we're going to speak in heaven, you'd best be here tonight. Where did human language come from? And lastly, we're going to talk about the subject that drives the evolutionists crazy. They have no answer for human language. Be here tonight, and we'll have fun talking about that, and especially smiling when we see how confused the evolutionists get, and they have no answer for this subject at all. But this is supposed to be a super day, but I want to take you to a day, three days, that actually are far more superior and far more exciting and with far more blessing than anything that will happen today, no matter how the Super Bowl goes. I want to talk to you about six wonderful miracles that sometimes we just read over and we don't stop to give a lot of thought to what was happening in the passage. We have read now Matthew chapter 27. So if you'd get your Bible and turn there to Matthew chapter 27, and we want to talk about these six wonderful miracles in Matthew chapter 27. It is a day where the angels gave great attention. In fact, we're told that there was upwards to 2 million angels that were watching on these specific days and these miracles that were taking place. It was a day when inanimate nature responded to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a day when there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 miracles right in a row. Each one of them absolutely specific. Each one of them absolutely astounding. Each one of them deserves our attention this morning. You will notice in chapter 27, in verse 45, the Bible talks about the first miracle. From noon until 3 in the afternoon. Now, you don't need to get your calculator out. That's 3 hours. For 3 hours, a dense, inky, dark darkness fell over all the land. Now, I don't know about you, but I have been down in a cave before when they have said, everybody stand still and nobody move, please, because in a moment, down here in this cave, 55 feet below the earth's surface, we're going to shut off the lights. I have never experienced darkness like that before. It was as if you could reach out and touch it. Now, you're visiting in Jerusalem today. You're visiting there and you've heard about all the events that have taken place. You've heard about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. You've heard about his trial. In fact, there were in excess of 180,000 visitors in Jerusalem on this day. 180,000. And the Bible says that there was great darkness that fell upon the land instantaneously. It wasn't any kind of a reflection or anything of that nature. It was an absolute shut off. It was as if God reached over and clicked a switch and everything became dark. All the people had been jeering Jesus as he hung upon the cross. The jeering stopped. There was quietness over the land. Egyptian historians talk about the day that had got dark for 3 hours. They didn't even know about the story that we're talking about today. All of Israel, all of the Mediterranean area became dark for 3 hours. Can you imagine how spooky That must have been. Can you imagine people trying to walk around? They didn't have those little teeny flashlights. They didn't have phones with your little batteries and with your lights there that they could turn on. They were in absolute darkness, the Bible says, for a period of 3 hours. And Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And for the next 3 hours, that darkness inexplicably took care of the land and spread over the entire land. Did it include the whole world? Well, some of the world was already dark at that time. Half the world was dark at that time. But did it spread all the way? We're not sure. But we do know that it was a sudden event, and God silenced all the people that were mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. And fear came over the land. There was an indeed eerie, inky darkness that came over the land. It was as if the gigantic hand of God had said to the sun, which is 27 million degrees heat, he said to the sun, stand down for 3 hours. And for the next 3 hours, this inexplicable darkness spread through the land. There are six of these miracles. First of all, there is this darkness that spreads through the land. Sometimes we just read it and we don't think about what it must have been like to have been there. What it must have been like to have all the lights go out. The second one, the second miracle of this chain of six miracles, is this immense veil that was ripped in verse 51. In verse 51, it says, at that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Now, you need to understand that this was a gigantic veil. This veil, of course, covered the Holy of Holies. This veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. Now, you need to know that this veil was huge. In fact, it was over 4 inches thick. The temple area employed, historians tell us, 82 seamstresses. 82 seamstresses to make this gigantic veil. And the veil had to be taken down from time to time, so there was more than one. And these 82 women worked there in the temple every day, and they kept sewing and sewing and sewing because this thing was just so absolutely gigantic. In fact, the Bible tells us that this thing was so big that it was 30 feet by 6 feet. Let's see if I have that right down here. 4 inches layers. It was separated the Holy of Holies. And once a year, you remember, that the high priest would go in with a basin of blood. Only one time a year could he go in. And this thing was absolutely gigantic. 30 feet long and 4 inches thick. In fact, Josephus tells us that it took 300 priests to put up this gigantic veil. So again, you can imagine how big this thing was. And all of a sudden, when Christ died upon the cross, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, indicating clearly that this was indeed the hand of God, and it was an inanimate nature response as this thing just ripped right down the middle. And all of a sudden, there is an openness to come into the very presence of God. Come boldly, he says, into my presence. As we come to communion today, he tells us, come boldly and worship me. Come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me and I will forgive your sin. Come to me and I will give you new life in Christ. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful event this was when that veil was rent and it preached to us a great message. In fact, so great that a great majority of the priests that were in the temple at the time got gloriously saved and became part of the Church of Jesus Christ. This was an amazing miracle that took place all happening once, one, first, darkness, and secondly, the veil as it was split asunder. The third of these, and we have to go quickly because there are six of them, the third of these is an impressive earthquake. Notice, will you please, at verse 51. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook. There's nothing that terrorizes people like an earthquake. Diane and I were on the 32nd floor of a hotel in Los Angeles, California, when an earthquake struck. And we had our four children, and we could sense the building swaying back and forth. I got to tell you, that's absolutely terrorizing, especially when you're 30 stories up in the air. This had to be a tremendous event that took place. And yet, when we read it in Scripture, we just kind of read by it. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole place shook. And as a result of that, people were absolutely terrorized at this terrible event that was taking place. Jesus has cried, "It is finished." And then, whoo! This thing took place and it scared everybody to death. Many believers became believers at that moment. The earth shook. Now, what's interesting about this is that we're told by historians in Rome that there was a gigantic earthquake on this date. We're told by historians in Greece. We're told by historians in the Mediterranean cities. We're told by historians that on a worldwide level, there is a record of this event that took place on that day. So it was absolutely gigantic. But what's interesting about this is we have no record of buildings being destroyed. It was a specific earthquake. It just shook things up. But not like the typical earthquake where buildings fall down and collapse. A temple could have collapsed. None of that happened. This was very God-specific. God sent an earthquake specifically to announce the fact that the Savior is here. An incredible time. Now, after that and during that earthquake, there was the fourth of these miracles. The incredible rocks being split asunder. Now, geologists tell us that the rocks splitting is an indication that this was the very center of the earthquake. And at the center of an earthquake, the rocks will split like snowballs thrown against a building. They just split in billions and billions of pieces. Finally, the Rock of Ages was responding. Finally, the Rock of Ages busted apart, and there was this unbelievable response from the people as they undoubtedly screamed and were very, very scared. I have a son-in-law who lives in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he's a pyrotechnic. And he's done the fireworks for the city of Philadelphia. And I got to tell you, he can put on quite a show. And we go to that show and we watch the fireworks. And man, are we excited about it. But I got to tell you, it's nothing like the fireworks God is demonstrating here. You got to put this all together. All these miracles, six of them, happening one right after another. The incredible rocks being split asunder. And then number five is the individual graves were opened. Notice verse 52. In verse 52, the Bible says, "And the tombs broke open." If you've been to Israel, you know that there are tombs all over the place, especially in and around the temple area. And there were a lot of believers, a lot of those who had trusted Christ apparently as Savior, who were buried in this area. And the Bible says that there was this earthquake, and then, as a result of the earthquake, the tombs were opened. Now, they didn't come climbing out yet. They didn't come climbing out until after the resurrection of Christ, but the graves were open. Now, can you imagine this Passover time? Jews can't touch a dead body. So there's nothing that they could do about it. Can you imagine one of the guys walking by and slipping and falling in a grave, and all of a sudden the guy rolls over and said, "What are you doing here?" But the graves were miraculously open. But they couldn't go cover them because it was Passover time. You can't do that at the Passover time. And the Bible says that these graves were open, and it was a strange thing to behold. But the message is clear. Death has been defeated. Death is dead. Jesus has risen from the grave. And fear gripped the hearts of the people. It was dark. There was an earthquake. The veil was rent. The stones popped open like snowballs. And now, the next of these miracles, and I love this one, is the instantaneous resurrection. Notice in verse 52, the Bible talks a little bit more about these guys. The tombs broke open. That was an event. The next event, the bodies of many, many, notice the word, holy people who had died were raised to life. Whoa. All of a sudden, these guys, after the resurrection of Christ, were raised. You talk about Lazarus having a great story. Hey, this is greater because we got a lot of people who were just bones a moment before, who had been in the grave perhaps for many years. But the omnipotent power of a mighty God, the God who is the creator of the world, recreated their bodies, brought all the cells together that needed to be together. They didn't get the glorified body. They yet still had to die later on. But they did get their existing body that they had died in. And then they come crawling out of the grave. What a picture that would be! Seeing all these guys, men and women, crawling up out of the grave. And then, of course, they go to their home. Now, they don't know all the stuff that's happened yet. So Grandpa shows up. Now, Grandpa's been dead for a long time. We had his funeral. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. And the 17-year-old teenager and his mom decide to answer the door. And all of a sudden, there stands Grandpa. Been dead for a long time, but here he is in a special body that had been prepared for him. Can you imagine all the fellowship that went on? Because each one of these guys, many of them, the Bible says, each one of them went rushing home because they didn't know what was happening. And then they got filled in about the death, burial, and resurrection. And then the Bible says they went out into the city. What great witnesses. What great credibility they had. They were dead yesterday, and they're alive now. And they give testimony of the fact that they were now alive and representing the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, this would shake you to the core if you were there. All of these events, it's like God took six of them off a shelf. And God says, let's use these six miracles. And He brings these six miracles in, and one after another, they begin to be exposed and to begin to be seen. The inexplicable darkness, the immense veil, the impressive earthquake, the incredible rocks being split, the individual graves being open, and the instantaneous resurrection of the guys that were in their graves. Ladies and gentlemen, That's six. That's six great miracles. But number seven was far greater. Up from the grave, He arose. Our Savior, who died for us upon the cross, up from the grave, He arose and gave us new life in Christ. Let us rejoice as we come to this communion time. Let us rejoice in the fact that we serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today. God said, I want to send you guys a message. And that message is going to be seven gigantic miracles. And the greatest of all is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. So as you hold the elements in your hand today, may you remember the risen and serving faithfully our God. Heavenly Father, thank You for these special messages. Sometimes so easy just to slip over in Scripture. To realize that there were 180,000 visitors in Jerusalem at that time. Plus all the people that lived in this area. And they witnessed all of this. And Father, we want to thank You that we do serve a risen Savior. We do thank You that we can come to this communion time and rejoice in Your faithfulness and goodness to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.